This is Crow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church. As Christian soldiers, we are invading the kingdom of darkness. God wants to rescue others from the darkness, and He's deployed us as reflections of His light. Because of this, we should be ready for spiritual oppression in all areas of our life. God has given us spiritual armor to defend ourselves against Satan's oppression, but the armor isn't enough. We must also rely on prayer. Today, Pastor Sam will continue a sermon titled Battlefield Praying from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at four things about the praying, and then I'd like to make an application to us as a church. Here they are. Number one, when you look at this text, you see a strong exhortation to gospel praying. You see a strong exhortation to gospel praying. Look at verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. I mean, Paul uses very compelling language here. I mean, he devotes the amount of space that we just noted, but he speaks with deep urgency. He speaks with compelling language. He uses what we would call as you know, if you were a literary person and you were looking at the grammar of this text, he is using imperative language, very strong imperative language. He's looking at you. It's as though he's sitting us down and he's saying, "Now I want you to get this. Don't, as you get ready to go out into battle, as you get ready to head out into that kingdom of darkness, I know what's waiting for you out there. I know the attacks that are coming. I've been under those attacks, and I want you to get this. You need to pray. There must be a commitment on your part to pray, and it's not just sort of the kind of praying maybe we've grown accustomed to in our own Christian worldview. It's the kind of praying that goes along with being alert. It's the kind of praying that goes along when you know that you are about to head into a massive conflict or a massive battle, and you don't know where the enemy is. You don't know what weaponry he has. All you know is that you are walking into a very heated part of the battle, and you need to be alert, and you need to be in constant communication with someone who can help you. I don't know if you've ever watched any footage from World War II where men were being offloaded from boats onto beaches, and then they were just trying to run up those beaches and trying to find any place where they could take cover. And if you've watched any of those kinds of footages, as those men are, particularly the historical ones, as those men are running up those beaches, they are literally being mowed down by the enemy who's up on the hills and up on the cliffs, and they are just mowing those men down. And sometimes as you go into the kingdom of darkness, it feels that way. And you look at those men and they have helmets and they have bulletproof vests and they have weaponry, and it's still, they just get mown down. And it's like, God, I'm going into that kind of warfare. What is going to help? I have this armor, but is it enough? And Paul says, no, it's not enough. You need to know this. This is Paul talking. You need to know this. You need the kind of praying that you pray with all alertness as you move into warfare ground. Remember what we said at the very beginning of the series? Most Christians in our context do not think of life as a spiritual battle. We don't live in a warfare mindset. We we kind of know that there's this war going on, but it's like super far away, and the missionaries go, and sometimes they get martyred, and so we know that the war is like way, way over there, but we really don't think that we're in it. Life for us is about our house, it's about our car, it's about our kids, it's about our job. Hey, what are we going to get our kids for Christmas? I mean, the stress right now is, man, I ordered it and it's not coming, and Amazon's whatever. And then last week the cloud went out and my little vacuum's not vacuuming like it should. And that's where we're at. And that's where the vast majority of people living in this country are. And Paul says, let me just pull it all up from you. Let me just open your eyes. You are surrounded by a kingdom of darkness. And in that kingdom, there is this massive army of wicked spiritual beings, and they are coming at you. And while you're worried about your little vacuum that didn't work because the cloud went out, and you're trying to figure out, how am I getting my kid a Christmas present because, you know, the supply chain is broken, these enemies are coming in like a horde, and they are determined to defeat you. And the church needs, this is Paul saying, the church needs to wake up. You are in your context and in your culture just like the Ephesians. You are in a spiritual battle that is going on every day around you, and you are the object, the target of this incredibly strong, wicked enemy that is determined to knock you down and to knock you out. And Paul says, you have armor, but you also need to pray. This is an urgent, compelling command that Paul is talking about. And it's not just you praying by yourself. When you start looking at this, this is written to a corporate body. There is this compelling need, Paul is saying, to pray corporately together. All of this section is addressed in the plural. I mean, Paul is talking to people, and it's not like you personally, although we have to do it individually. He's talking to a body. He is saying to the church, you need to pray. You need to wear your armor. You need to go into this battle. Now, if you lived in the city of Ephesus, this language would have just been native to you, because when you were a small group of people against the entire city, there was a bonding that came together. And so you just immediately, when Paul was talking, you're like, okay, this is us. You know, when you're under battle, your unit is your family, your cohort. That's who you hang with. That's who you care about. When one of them gets injured on the battlefield, you're not leaving until you bring them with you. There is a corporateness to this. You know what's happened to the American church? It's become very individual. You know, church is what I do on Sunday. It's what I show up to. You know, oh, yeah, 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 it's the family of God. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's the household of God. Oh, yeah, 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 we're part of that church. But for the most part, we live very individual lives. We live by ourselves. We do by ourselves. We pray for ourselves. Oh, yeah, and we go to church, and we give a little bit of our money, but the rest of our money, we do whatever we want with it, and we have become very, very individualized people in this battle. God says, no, wait a minute. I put a church in that location. And I put another church in that location. I didn't put just one person there. Maybe it started with one person, but I put a body there, and a body there, and a body there, and a body there. And you bodies need to be praying together and fighting together and doing life together. The armor isn't just individual, it's corporate. And of course it has to be done in our individual lives. And so there is this compelling corporateness to what Paul's talking about here. And think about how that breaks down very quickly in our own lives. You know, we as I said, we are very individually wired. Think about the comprehensiveness of this. Notice the little word all in this text. Look at verse 18, praying at all times with all prayer and supplication. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. I mean, Paul is actually broadening out our understanding of this kind of praying. It isn't this individual praying that says, God, you know, I have this little need over here and I need you to meet it. And I got this thing over here I really like you to do and I really feel like you should be doing that. And this over here, that's not the kind of praying that Paul's talking about here. He's talking about a comprehensive approach to praying at all times with all kinds of prayers. I mean, just the immensity of it with all vigilance for all saints. And so there is this exhortation that Paul is given. But what does it actually look like when a church does it? And so Paul says, let me give you an explanation. That's the second thing I want you to notice here. There's an explanation. This is not just perfunctory praying. You know, sometimes we get together and, you know, we start church and, well, you can't start church without praying. That's like the first thing you got to do. So did we really start church? Your pastor forgot to pray? Maybe we didn't start church. Oh, no, we started praying. No. Actually, he did pray. I forgot. He prayed. So we're good. We started church. Church has started. And I'm kind of mocking that a little bit because sometimes that's how we think about prayer. Prayer is like the thing we do. It's the button. It's the start button. You know, as we get going, well, let's just have a little word of prayer and then we'll get going. And then, so we pray or, you know, it's the thing we do so that we don't choke on our food. Have you ever eaten unblessed food? That's potentially dangerous. You know, what do you do when you're in a Mexican restaurant, though, and you got the chips? Do you pray for those or do you wait? Like, are you pre-chip or post-chip prayers? You know, where do you put that? It's like the thing we do before we do the thing we're going to do. And Paul says, now, wait a minute. That is not at all what I'm talking about when I'm talking about prayer. Prayer isn't just like the preliminary thing we do to get it started. It's not the starting gun at the race. You know, it's not the buzzer that gets the game going. Prayer is so much more. And so what he's going to do now is he's going to tell you what prayer is marked by as he explains it. The kind of praying Paul has in mind is marked by consistency. It's marked by consistency. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. It's marked by consistency. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, what I mean by that is that it is our consistent practice and it is our constant conversation. All the time. It doesn't mean that all we do is pray. It means that we don't do anything without praying. It's a running conversation with God. And it's our day is punctuated with all kinds of praying. Prayer's a confession. I mean, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I thought that. I'm sorry I did that. Adoration. God, you are so good. I'm looking out the window and there's this magnificent sunrise or this beautiful. I mean, God, you are so good. Celebration. God, I'm so thankful to belong to you. Thanksgiving, petition, crying out for help, provision, protection, forgiveness, mercy, short prayers, long prayers. Formal and informal praying. All throughout your day should be punctuated by a running conversation with God. It is to be the consistent practice of a Christian soldier. And then it is to be marked by fervency and alertness. The word alert here is a rare term. It's a word that means to stay up all night, watching, guarding. Somebody said, hey, you know what? I happen to know something that tomorrow night there's a group of people and they're making a plan and they're going to come to your house and they're going to do something. I remember as a teenager, and I'm not going to like incriminate myself here, but I was in high school and there was a certain night of the year where we would go out and we would prank people. And I'm not suggesting you should do that, all right? There are things that you confess and you forsake, and that's one of them. But it's a good illustration. So you plan to prank people, and there was this one guy that worked in our school that we loved to prank. And I mean by prank, it was like, you know, let's go egg his house or something like that. And he got word that we were coming. And so he made preparations. He got like an airsoft gun, and he made little traps around his house, and then he spent the night in a tree, sort of next to his house, waiting for us so that if we came, he could pelt us. And so he heard we were coming, and he made preparations, but we heard that he heard. And so guess what? We didn't come. And he spent the night in a tree. We came another night. So what's the point of that dumb story? The point of that dumb story is he stayed up all night on the alert, and this is exactly what Paul's saying we're to do. The kind of praying we're doing, this running conversation with God, is to be watchful and vigilant, because you know that at some point there is an enemy coming against you. You don't know where he is coming from. You don't know what he's coming with. You just know he's coming, and you are constantly on the alert, and you are praying, God, help me to spot. God, help me to know. Help me to recognize. Help me to avoid. Help me to see. There is this vigilance. This is exactly what Jesus was talking about on the last night of his life when he talked to his disciples and he said to them, keep watching, keep praying. Why? So that you would not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. A clear and present danger was upon these men. And what happened? They slept. And then it is to be marked by selfless specificity. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. In other words, Paul says, look, when you pray, it needs to be praying for the saints. And he had an example of this in a man named Epaphras. Epaphras came from the church at Colossae. He was sent out by that church on a battle mission with the Apostle Paul. But he didn't forget his family back home. He was reassigned from his fighting unit to Paul's fighting unit. But as he was with Paul on the battlefront where Paul was, he didn't forget that all the people back at Colossae were also being under attack. And this is what he did. Paul said to him about him in Colossians 4, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect, fully assured of the will of God. That brings me to the third thing. How in the world am I going to get the energy and the enablement for this? What is the enablement? Where is the enablement for prayer that wins spiritual victories in this kind of context? And Paul's answer to that is this. You're going to get the energy to pray from the same place you get the energy to stand. You're going to get you're going to get the strength you need from the same place to pray. You're going to get the strength you need to pray from the same place that you get the strength you need to do everything else in your life. You're going to get that strength from the Holy Spirit. And that's why he talks about praying in the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God who enables and energizes our prayer. Why? Because he controls us. He fills us. He indwells us. We are governed by him. And then, you know, it's not just that he enables us to pray. Sometimes we're in the middle of the battle and we honestly don't know what to pray for. It's like, what do we pray for? I mean, here's a scenario, and I don't know what to pray for. And Paul says in Romans, just pray and let the Holy Spirit interpret that praying to God. And then the Holy Spirit strengthens you as you pray. Jude chapter 1, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray to God through the Spirit, it isn't just like empty words that go out of your mouth. You know, sometimes in theological classes, I've been asked the question by a young theologian, and it's like, well, what's the point of praying if God is sovereign? If God is sovereign and he's already decided things, then what does my praying do, and why even pray? You ever wondered that, by the way? I don't think it's just young theologians. I think it's just everyday people like us sometimes we wonder that. Has God already decided? And so I'm spending this hour praying, and why do that if this is already decided? And the point of praying, folks, is not to get God to change his mind about things. Jude is telling you that the point of praying is to build something in you. Prayer is the means by which God builds your faith. Because prayer is your constant declaration that, God, I'm not strong enough for this. I'm not wise enough from this. I don't know what to do here. I don't have the wisdom I need. I trust you. I trust that you know. I trust that you will do. I trust that your strength is best. How does our faith get built up? And one of the answers the New Testament gives you is this: by your praying. We typically think of praying as talking to God and trying to get God on our page, or trying to get ourselves on God's page, and there is no question that God invites us to come and make our request to him. There's no question about that, and we shouldn't feel guilty when we go to God and we pray for our brother Troy and say, God, would you please heal Troy? Or we pray for our folks in our church who are suffering cancer and other illnesses and say, Lord, please heal them. But the point of praying is not just that. The point of praying is that as we pray and the Spirit energizes our praying, our faith is being built up. And frankly, that's maybe why some of us, myself included, are so weak. We have all this knowledge. I mean, can I just be straight up with us? Most of us have more Bibles on our shelf than the early church had in an entire congregation. We have study Bibles that have notes. We have journals we've been keeping. We hear preaching. We've been hearing preaching our whole life. We've been taking notes on that preaching. We read books. We have radio programs. There are Bible teachers we listen to on the radio. We have so much wealth when it comes to the information of Scripture. That's not our problem. We lack strength. So I'm just going to read my Bible more. Praise God. Read your Bible. Listen, men and women, read your Bible a lot. Read it all the time. Read it every day. You should. But Jude says, if you want to build up your faith, you need to pray. Can I just ask this question? I'm asking myself, in case this is not pointed to you, could it be the reason we're weak is we don't pray? I mean, I'm talking about the kind of praying Paul's talking about here. And that brings us to the final thing this morning. And so, okay, if that's the kind of praying we need to do, what does it look like? What is the object and the content of the kind of praying we're talking about? And Paul says, all right, let me give you an example of this. I've been praying for you, and now I need you to pray for me. I've been praying for you. Two times in this letter, I mean in six short chapters, I devoted half of two chapters to praying for you. So I've been praying for you. And now I need you to pray for me in the same way. And if you want to know what to pray for, go back and think through what I've been praying to God for about you. In those two prayers, not one time does Paul pray for relief for the Ephesians. Not one time does God pray that everything would go well for them. He prays for much bigger objectives. And it's no surprise that when he says to them, I am desperately in need of your prayers for me, that the content of his requests are much bigger than, hey, can you just pray that God will get me out of prison here, or that these chains won't be so rough on my wrists, and that somebody will remember to send me food, and that somebody will hang out with me, and that all will go well. None of those things are mentioned by Paul in his prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll finish this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the lead teaching pastor of Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Come join our worship service at 9:30 a.m. every Sunday, or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by Ryan Ahrens and CJ Billiou. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.